Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Yeah.
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game.
Come on!
It's Wednesday, isn't it?
Yes, I had to think about that for a second as well. But yes, it is Wednesday.
It's Wednesday.
It's a great day. It's a happy hump day.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Warriors end up getting that win, 116-194 over the Blazers, as we will discuss that for pretty much the entirety of the show today, although there are a couple more things we want to mention. Draft lottery obviously happened yesterday, so we'll at least mention that a couple of times. That was quick.
That was quick.
That was abrupt.
It's okay.
I thought it faded out. No, that was my fault.
That was you. Yeah. Never mind. Sorry, Pappas.
Yeah, that was my fault. Bill. I told Pappas, don't worry about it. The music fades out normally, and then it just didn't end.
So, all bad on you.
That's my problem.
But you know what? We rebound.
We do rebound, just like the Warriors did last night. Game 6 of the Rockets turned out to be way more important than we thought, because last night, the one thing that was clearly evident, and feel free if you want to text the Chilton Autobody text line 95795. Give us a call, 888-957-9570. Let us know what you thought about the game. But Game 6, the fact that they took it away from the Rockets and won that series, it gave them some rest, and you could tell that this Blazers team last night had played a Game 7 48 hours prior.
Yeah, you could see they were on empty. They were completely out of gas. They were tired. They were making lots of mental errors last night. So as dominant as the Warriors are, it doesn't mean that they could stay very comfortable. It doesn't mean that they can let up on the gas. Do not let up on this team, because right now, the Warriors had a fantastic performance last night, but you got to remember that this team can bounce back. I don't think that they'll be the best. This is a good matchup for the Warriors, but man, these guys were tired.
Yeah. Richard Jefferson put it best. He said that in order for the Blazers to actually win, they're going to have to play very good, while the Warriors are just going to have to play good. He put it very simply. And last night you saw the Warriors, they actually, in the first half, they were just good. They were just good, but the Blazers just weren't good at all.
No.
And then in the fourth quarter, that's when you saw Curry come alive. But at the beginning of the game, I thought Draymond's intensity is what really brought it out of this team. He ended up starting out the quarter with 6 points and 3 assists, and then get this, 6 rebounds, 2 of which were on the offensive side of the ball. And this sequence right here is what really defined Draymond's first quarter for me. So Draymond got the defensive rebound, a tough one, and then he ended up kicking it out back across the court. Then he ran down court, then he got the offensive rebound, and then he ended up getting the ball back off that offensive rebound, then passing it to Kevon Looney for this play.
10 to shoot, minute 5 to go in the quarter, Warriors up 5. Bounce pass to Looney, goes backdoor, great catch, turns, goes up over Collins and scored low right. Draymond threw the pass and said, you better get there.
Last year, Looney wouldn't make that shot, but he knows how to do it now.
Kevon Looney with another big game, just setting screens left and right. From the 650 on the Chilton Autobody text line, this person, I'm glad they texted in, because I was going to give this person props, but told you Blazers would be fatigued. This person did say coming from Denver, they would be tired because of the altitude.
And oh, yeah.
It was definitely evident last night, but what did you see? What did you think going into the half? The Blazers were only down 3 points before the second quarter, before Curry just went off with a couple of threes in their face to get them up by 9. So where were you at the end of the first half? Because I felt like the Warriors should have had a bigger lead to start out.
Yeah, they should have. They started off well. They had a nice lead. What was it, 17 points? It went down to 6. And then, you know, you're thinking, okay, you can't let up. you get worried, because that's something that we've had, we've felt recently, where the Warriors have let up and then all of a sudden let teams come back in.
Yeah.
We felt that a lot lately, but they ended up just kind of stopping the bleeding, keep on going. It was very, what was great about last night with the Warriors was it was very free flow, a very free flow game last night. Great ball movement. The bench completely came to play. He had 36 bench points from 8 players. And the cool thing about this, and Steve Kerr actually talked about this, how important the bench is. By the bench playing as well as it did, that also gives the starters a rest. And we saw what happened with Houston, how lopsided it was completely when it came to looking at the minutes, and how it was just, you know, the same guys. And that also probably could have led to the Kevin Durant injury. And so we don't want to see that again with the Warriors. We don't want to see those starters putting in quite as many minutes. So now, hopefully, this is something that we're going to see throughout the rest of this series, at least, is bench players coming to play and the starters being able to kind of step back a little bit, get a little bit of rest, and still come into play.
Klay Thompson ended up logging the most minutes in the game on the team with 37 minutes. But you're talking about the bench, and it was that lineup to start out the second and the fourth quarter with Quinn Cook, Jonas Jerebko, Klay Thompson, Jordan Bell, and Sean Livingston. You saw Jordan Bell get a couple of assists going, but Klay Thompson was kind of the straw that stirred the drink with that second unit, especially at the start of the second and the fourth quarter. But the pick and roll, that was what they were defining in the first half. And then toward the end of the second quarter, there were two separate plays in which a screen was set for Curry, and he got up easy threes.
One foul in this entire second quarter whistled on Portland. As Lillard hits all three, 48-45 Warriors. Steph Curry off the screen, nails a three, gets it right back, just like that. Steph now is 16, the Warriors lead 51-45.
Stop, aim, fire.
McCollum defending, Looney screening. Steph comes middle. Steph turns, fires away, three ball, good! He didn't even handle it cleanly. 54-45, 7 seconds left before halftime.
54-45 was what they went into the half with, even though they were almost, I mean, they were only up by three before those two plays. So it was back and forth for the first half, at least, but it was the fourth quarter in which we really saw him step up. But I can't say enough, though, about Jordan Bell right now, because I know he didn't really have all that significant of an impact scoring and whatnot, but he was playing into the role that Steve Kerr wanted him to play in, which was get into the post. This is what he was doing with all the centers. He was having them just get into the post and then back down their man, be patient with the ball, wait for the guards to run around their screens. And then Bell accounted for 2 of the 4 three-pointers that were made from that second unit with Cook, Bell, Livingston, and Jerebko. And Jerebko, by the way, he was keeping the things alive, too, with 7 points in the second quarter, too. It was a complete game last night, and in Portland, they had no chance if the Warriors play like this.
I mean, you know where they also didn't have a chance is, can you keep Enes Kanter defending Steph Curry? I mean, Steph had the most wide-open looks. I think he had like 12 feet. He was 12 feet in front of Steph.
Yeah.
Like, he was playing him as if he was ready for the drive. But it's like, you know, Steph, you have the open three. He's going to take it. He's going to kill you from the three. So I'm gonna assume that Terry Stotts is going to adjust that and figure out they've got to change their defensive scheme there.
That's the thing. We're looking at the text line right now. And from the 925, yeah, the bench can play because Portland is a JV team at best. Look, they're in the Western Conference Finals. They're not a JV team at best. They played very poorly yesterday in game one. But you know who else did? The Clippers. Then they came back in game two and ended up coming back with a 31-point deficit.
Exactly.
So I don't think we need to write this Trailblazers team off just yet as a JV team.
And did the Warriors not come out against Houston and just start steamrolling them in the beginning?
Yeah.
You know, they won the first two at home. It looked dominant. It looked like everybody was saying, oh, there you go. It's going to be a sweep right there in against Houston.
Right.
Nope, it didn't happen. Obviously,
right.
Went to 6. You lost your best player. And now you have... You got the same thing, but you got to keep that in mind. And I know the players were talking about that last night. They said they got to remember what happened in the first games in those first two series and make sure they do not come out overconfident and make sure that they keep on rolling and keep the ball moving.
Does this give you a little more confidence, though, at least? I mean, I know it's only one game and we don't want to overreact too quickly, but does this give you a little more confidence in KD just resting and coming back? Because I'm watching this game last night. We'll get to Kerr's sound a little bit later on. he talked about that. He talked saying that this matchup is perfect to play 11 guys if he needs to. So did this give you a little more confidence last night, at least knowing that they can maybe rest KD a little longer and don't need to even put him in this series?
100%. Because the biggest issue he had was KD playing, you know, not he took up so many minutes when we talk about the starters and how much time that they played in the bench. How many DNPs did we have? How many of those games? You're not going to see that in this series. As long as these guys keep showing up, and this is a better matchup for the Warriors, it is a faster pace. These guys will be able to keep it up, and I hope that they do. Like I said, as long as they don't ease up on the gas, they'll be just fine. But this is hopefully the right chance to have KD rest, so that way you'll need him more in an NBA Finals situation.
I can't get enough of this second unit that's out there on the floor, because before, if you would have told me that Quinn Cook, Jonas Jerebko, Klay Thompson, Sean Livingston, and Jordan Bell were all going to be on the floor for 7 minutes, and you would have told me, hey, they're going to go 7-for-14 from the field and shoot 50% while also making 4 threes. I mean, it's like, I would be in shock if you told me that.
If you told me they were going to play 7 minutes, I would have thought originally that they were getting blown out and this is time for garbage unit time. So there you go. I mean, they all showed up. The bench was stellar.
Yeah.
Everybody, the Splash Brothers were amazing. So excited to see everybody. Everybody showed up last night. Even Damian Jones.
Yeah.
He came to play. All of a sudden, you see Damian Jones on the floor, and I didn't realize that he was even active.
No one really did. I think the team doctors told Kerr just before the game that he's ready to go if you need him. They obviously didn't put him in at an important time.
Right.
But it was just fundamental basketball for the Warriors. Last night, they were as fundamentally sound as they've been, and the Trailblazers had no answer for it. And these two shots, one from Quinn Cook and Klay Thompson, both fed by Bell, really spoke to that.
Bell picks up the dribble, finds Jerebko. He goes down to the box, left side, feeds Bell. One dribble over to Cook. Cook's open, fires for three. Got it! Right in front of the Warrior bench. Bell turns and faces the bucket at the top of the key.
Doesn't want to shoot it.
Gets it to Klay Thompson. He wants to shoot it, and he hits it. It's a curling three from the left side as he worked up from the baseline, and the Warriors are up 11.
You saw Thompson was very proud of Jordan Bell after that shot. That was in the fourth quarter, and that's when they started to really pull away, but they needed those guys in those minutes because they were resting Curry and Iguodala at the same time. So I can't say enough about how the bench kind of kept them alive in this game, because I really did think in the first half that it was starting to slip away. There is one text. I want to see if you agree with this,
okay,
Anna. From the 925. Was it me or was there weird energy to this game, especially in the first half? Fans and Rorick will need to be more into the game at the start. Way too quiet.
It was an early game, though, too. It was started at 6.
It's true. So you just had people getting off work. But you would expect people to get off work early, though. It's a whatever. It's a Tuesday. It's like, do you really need me at work?
Yeah.
If I'm going to a playoff game, I'm getting off work early, because that is exactly what I wrote in my notes. I'm like, what's with the fans?
Okay, there was a lot of traffic, though. I don't want to give excuses. Get there early. Get there early, everybody.
There's a lot of traffic.
No,
yes. Working.
Well, there was a big accident yesterday, so
I ran into the
traffic on the way into the city yesterday, because I came back to the city last night.
Oh, that's right, on 580, huh?
Yeah, so there was a little bit of that, so I'll give the fans a little bit of an excuse, but you better come out for game two early and get there. Plan to get there early, enjoy, and really be loud.
From the 650 on the Chilton Metal Body text line, the Blazers had to deal with a short turnaround, playing Game 7 Sunday afternoon in Denver, then traveling to the Bay Area to play on Tuesday. They will be better in the following games. This is a team that overcame a 17-point deficit and played a quadruple overtime. They don't quit, so everyone please stop writing them off.
Totally agree with you, 650.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
Yeah, and we mentioned that just at the start of the show. The Warriors, they got that Game 6. That Game 6 win is going to be, if the Warriors end up, you know, advancing and moving on to the finals and doing whatever they're going to do, we're going to look back at Game 6 and realize just how important that win over the Rockets is. And from the 650 also, some of us have real jobs.
Yeah.
All right. Not going to fight you there, but there were a lot of empty seats there to start out, and the energy did feel a little awkward even toward the third quarter. But we'll get into everything. We got some sound from Stephen Curry, Draymond Green, Steve Kerr, all of that. And from the 916 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, we don't all work at Sports Talk Radio, Steven. Our bosses don't care. Don't spell my name with a PH. Luis, I know that's you, man. Don't spell
Stephen.
Don't spell my name with a
PH.
Stephen. No, I don't want to be Stephen. There's already one King Stephen, and that's Stephen Curry.
First name Stephen, last name Curry.
First name Stephen, last name Langford. Mm-hmm. Stephen Curry had 33 points. I did not. Stephen Langford, Anna Kagadaki's in on the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford and Anna Kagadaki's.
The pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee, meet and greet with their product experts. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for dates and more information.
Terrific. Tremendous.
What?
If you knew the name of the song, you'd understand.
I was going to say, what's the song? Because I like the song.
Huge.
Huge. Okay.
Shout out. It's Mac Miller, and its song's called Donald Trump. Great song.
Great song. That makes sense.
It all happened when Donald Trump was a rich businessman and not exactly the president of the United States.
Gotcha.
So this was a little bit beforehand.
You think he'd change it? We'll get it. Not get into this.
No. Not at all.
We're not getting into it. And we move on to a great, great game last night.
Yes, the Warriors pull off the win, 116-94 in game one. Feel free to text the Chilton Autobody text line at 95795. Or hit up the phone line at 888-957-9570. Anna, we were just talking about this at the break.
Mm-hmm.
Damian Lillard wearing an A's jersey going into the game. You love that?
I dug it. Little Oakland representation there.
Right.
I'm an A's fan, so it's like, yeah, I like that. That's a good look. I'll take it.
Oakland. No matter which athlete it is, like walking in into the stadium, if they're like wearing a certain piece of clothing, I'm like, okay. Fine. You're wearing a jersey. Cool.
Okay.
People
so,
are looking at him as like some sort of hero. Like they've elevated Damian Lillard to a whole new level. He's like, yeah, he loves Oakland, so he's a part of Oakland, and he's wearing the jersey. I'm like, okay, yeah, but all he did was really was put on a jersey.
It's just representing your town. It represents where you're from.
Steph Curry
goes to North Carolina, and when he goes back to Charlotte, and he's wearing a Panthers jersey. You get people getting all excited over that.
Yeah.
Same thing.
It's just, there's just the outpour on Twitter after I saw the A's jersey. It was crazy. I'm just like, wow, people really love that. And I'm like, well, all he did was wear a jersey. It's it.
What do you want him to do? Go parade
I really
sign?
Don't care. I don't care what they're wearing going into the game. I've never cared less about anything.
Oh, Russell Westbrook is one who cares about different type of look, like his fashion style.
You
can
say he doesn't care about any sort of
that might
look.
Be a good point. Anthony Davis just has somebody dress him, basically.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he has people put out clothes for him.
He's a giant NBA Ken doll.
Last time, he said that's all, folks, and he still says he wants to be traded away from the Pelicans, but we'll see what shakes down there because they obviously got the number one pick after the draft lottery last night. But we are discussing this Warriors game, 116-94. I kind of went off about the bench early because in the start of the second and fourth quarter, they were putting in minutes. They had the lineup of Cook, Bell, Jarebko, Thompson, and Livingston. They got logged 7 minutes, which was the third most if you're just taking out Bogut out of the starting lineup and switching with Looney. So that second unit played the third most minutes in the game. They had a total of 7, and they ended up going 4 for 5 from 3, which was huge. But we also didn't go for Stephen Curry, and we didn't talk about the greatness that is Steph, because this was the first game, finally, he logged 9 threes. He hadn't logged more than 5 this entire playoffs. Last night, we finally saw Stephen Curry be Stephen Curry.
Yeah, he felt good. You could see that how he was moving. He was having fun last night. 36 points from him. Like I said, 9 threes, so 27 of those just from beyond the arc. He had control. He was moving really well last night. Looked like his finger isn't bothering him last night. Got enough rest for that finger, hopefully. And it's just great to see Steph being able to move like that and really dominate. And then Klay Thompson, also 26-point performance from him as well.
Klay Thompson, they started him out aggressive. You can tell that I think Coach Kerr spoke to this, and he said that at the beginning they wanted him to be aggressive, and then he was just taking shots. Now, he wasn't being all that efficient, but he was still Klay Thompson, I mean, they call what? Samardzija the innings eater?
Yeah.
What's it called? Klay Thompson, or they call Samardzija the innings eater. You might as well call Klay Thompson the minutes eater because he was out there. He logged the most minutes out of the team, 37, and he was able to keep Steph and Andre on the bench and give them some rest. So can't say enough about the Splash Brothers, and they've both just elevated their game. But at the same time, there is a backcourt on that Blazers team, and I don't think we should expect the same type of performance from McCollum and Lillard.
No, not at all. A lot of turnovers last night for those guys, too. Look, they were tired. They were beat, whether it's altitude, Game 7. They had, you know, one of the texters said quadruple. You know, they went into quadruple overtime. They're tired right now. And it's not an excuse, but at the same time, that's something you got to keep in mind. Is it going to be easy the rest of the way out? No, it's not. And these guys can both go off and can completely change a game. When they're off, obviously it makes a huge difference for that Blazer team. So once they're on, you know, just like the Warriors right now, if Steph has an off night, it completely changes the whole dynamic of that team. So once you get Dame, once you get CJ McCollum actually having good games, it's going to change it up. Still fast game. It's still a better matchup for the Warriors to face the Blazers, but you still got to watch out for them.
Well, here is what Steve Kerr said after the game, talking about being a better matchup for the Blazers.
This series feels like it's a series where we can play more people. You know, it's a different matchup, and I think that what you saw tonight is what we'd like to get to every night if we can, in terms of playing 10, 11 guys.
And they're going to have to going forward as long as KD's out. And I asked you this question at the beginning. Does this make you more confident in keeping KD off the court and just letting him rest until the next series? Because last night, I didn't know what to expect in terms of KD returning. I didn't think like, hey, we need to get him back as soon as possible. But I did think, yeah, we might need him in this series. But in this first game, it gave me enough confidence to the point where I'm saying, you could just keep rolling with this team right now and the way they're going and try and win a 7-game series against these Blazers.
Definitely. I think it'd be great to be able to keep Kevin out. The only thing is, like we've said, we've seen in the past, Warriors dominant at home, opening up the series. They did it against the Clippers. They did it against Houston. What happens in Game 2 against the Clippers? Lose a 31-point lead, completely change the dynamic of that series. Warriors were kind of falling behind, then they ended up getting the win. Thank you, especially to Kevin Durant. So you can't be too comfortable playing this team right now because this team does have an ability to go off. I'm not saying right away, oh, this team's going to sweep. Oh, they got it in 5. I called it in 6. I'm going to stick by it right now. I'm, you know, obviously not feeling quite as comfortable. Like, okay, maybe I should go to 5. Nope, let's hold off a second because I don't want to be overconfident just yet. I'm not going to come out there and say, oh, yeah, they got this, no problem. Let's wait. It's still just game one.
From the 408 on the Chilton Autobody text line, overall defense again was the key. CJ and Dame never really got going. I'm going to assume that's from Jim.
Which actually I found something on here I wanted to tell you about. So Steph Curry, obviously last night, 36 points. Dame and CJ together, 36 points. So field goals,
ridiculous.
12 for 23. Steph Curry, Dame and CJ, 11 to 31. Three trays from Dame and CJ. 9 from Steph, 7 assists from Steph, 7 assists Dame and CJ.
Yeah.
6 rebounds from Steph, 7 from Dame and CJ. And then finally, 1 turnover from Steph last night, 10 from Dame and CJ.
You saw the turnovers have a huge effect, especially in the beginning of the game. In the first half, the Warriors were winning that turnover battle. The Blazers had 14 while the Warriors had 9, and they ended up scoring at least 20 points off of those turnovers. So I think game one has made it clear that this Blazers team, if they want to even have a chance to win, and Richard Jefferson put this perfectly when he was talking on the jump, these Blazers, they have to be real good. They have to, as simple as that is, they have to play at their best in order to beat this team, because good is just not good enough. If the Warriors play good and the Blazers play good, the Warriors are winning that 9 times out of 10. But if the Blazers play really good and the Warriors do play good, then maybe they have a shot. But last night, that made that statement clear to me, for sure.
You could see why Portland's missing Nurkic also. You completely see that. Enes Kanter was keeping, I mean, I don't know what he was doing. He was completely far away from Steph. I mean, Steph had some open looks. I think afterwards, reporters were asking him after the game about it. Were they surprised? You know, was he surprised about how Kanter was defending him?
And yeah.
You could tell he was trying not to smile. It's like,
Well,
I was able to.
I think that comes also with the series off of the Nuggets, because the Warriors weren't doing much different in terms of starting out a play that the Nuggets would do. They'd just pass it into Jokic, and then from the post, he would just be patient, wait with it, back down his man, and either go up for the shot or wait for a guy like Jamal Murray or Will Barton or Gary Harris to run around, and then maybe they'll shoot a mid-range jumper. I think that's why Cancer was sagging off of him, because they didn't expect them to shoot threes right off of the pass from the post. So there were the fundamental basketball that we saw from Kevon, Draymond, and Steph was unbelievable. There was a play in the third quarter. It was a simple play. Steph just took it up the court. Draymond ran toward the low block in the post, and then he was just backing down his man. Then Looney came out and switched spots with Draymond, comes out to the guard, sets a screen so Curry can run around to the three-point line. Draymond just dishes it out to him, and then Curry knocks down the shot. There was just fundamental basketball on the offensive side of the ball, especially in that fourth quarter, and you saw it play out. And Kevon Looney, the screens, the screen setting that he was doing, whether it was a back screen, flare screen, away screen, whatever type of screen that Looney was trying to pull off, he was able to pull it off last night, and it was just fundamental basketball at its best.
Yeah, and that's where the Warriors, when they're on their game, they are the best team in basketball, and that goes to show you why, because they're doing what they need to get done. And when they don't have those mental mistakes, you can't beat them. And you see that last night. I'm just wondering how, you know, what's Portland going to do? How are they going to change? How are they going to adjust? There's definitely going to be adjustments for game two.
Yeah.
So we'll definitely see that. And I just want to see, you know, what do you do? Do you put Zach Collins to the five? Rodney Hood looked pretty good last night, even though with the knee injury. He had, you know, wasn't great, but he was, you know, he looked pretty good.
Rodney Hood did look good. He didn't look like he just hyperextended his knee, which they ended up diagnosing as like a bone bruise, and which he was diagnosed as questionable before that game. But yeah, he didn't even look like he was really hurt all that much. I want to get into some sound from Damian Lillard. He talked about playing in Oakland, which is kind of cool. And we're obviously going to continue to talk about Draymond and Steph and Steve Kerr, because they don't think that the Blazers are going to play the same type of game as they played in game one. Stephen Langford, Anna Kakadaki's in on the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford and Anna Kakadakis.
Pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee meet and greet with their product experts. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for dates and more information. Just a couple of simple team stats to throw out for you.
Go for it.
Blazers, 83 shots. Warriors, 84. So they got up relatively the same amount of shots.
Yeah.
Blazers, they made 30 of them for 36%. Warriors, they made 42 out of their 84 for 50%.
Efficiency there.
From the three-point line, the Blazers, 28 three-pointers up, while the Warriors had 33. Blazers only got up 7 for 25% from 3. While the Warriors, they got 17.
Yep.
Like for 51%. Is anyone even beating that Warrior team if they played like that last night?
No, nobody.
At least with those totals. I mean, you know, looking at the game, there was in the first half, they started to let it slip away, especially in the middle of those quarters. And I've been saying this since the Rockets series, but the last 4 minutes of each quarter is turning out to be the most important time in the game, because you saw Steph hit 2 threes right in a row just off a Looney screen, even though they were only up 3, and they ended up going up 9 in the half. And then going into the fourth quarter, the Warriors were only up by 7. So these final 4 minutes of each quarter are starting to become more and more important. But looking at those totals, though, if you're just looking at the stats, you're thinking, damn, there's no team that can beat the Warriors if they shoot like that.
No, I mean, but, you know, Steve Kerr said that the key stretch for them was the first 5 minutes of that fourth quarter because of what happened in the third quarter and letting that lead slip away. And you had Quinn Cook, who had 2 big threes in the fourth quarter as well. So as long as they keep up the momentum, keep it going, keep the flow going, and still play efficient basketball, which obviously we saw last night, like you said, just going over the numbers that way, as long as they play efficient basketball, they can beat anybody.
Right.
But you got to also remember, you're not going to see, you know, the Portland backcourt shoot only 25% of their threes. You're not going to get that from Dame and CJ every game. So those guys are bound to go off, and you got to be able to defend that.
Yeah, Lillard didn't do anything really until with five minutes left in the fourth quarter. That's when he made one of his signature Lillard threes. But here's Draymond Green after the game talking about that backcourt.
You know, Dame isn't going to have the game he had the rest of the series, and neither is CJ. But we got to do whatever we can as a team to try to continue to force them to have those type of games. But overall, I thought our defense was really locked in. We had a few mistakes that we can kind of fix. And also, I think we can rebound the ball a little bit better. But, you know, you're going to give up some of that when you're playing them the way we're playing them. But we can still clean it up.
They did end up losing that rebounding battle 47-42 while they had five more offensive rebounds from the Trailblazers. But you saw the mistakes that Draymond's talking about. Mm-hmm. The only mistakes that we really saw were just them going and doubling up Kanter whenever he was in the post, because all we say about Kanter's defense, that's all he can do is score the ball, and he can also rebound. So they made it a point to double team him. They made it a point to double team Lillard. And some of those times you saw the double teams, they took advantage of it. Then they just passed it for an easy layup. But In the end, it really didn't matter.
Nah, it didn't. Look, Kanter is one-sided basically playing ball last night. He's a great, you know, he is a great offensive player, but his defense, I mean, like we said, he left Steph wide open.
Right.
I mean, he was 12 feet off of him. It's like, you leave Curry that much space, he's going to kill you.
Right. And then from the 925 here on the Chilton Autobody text line, Blazers had a huge advantage in free throws. Otherwise, it's a 40-point win. See, here's the thing, though. The Warriors weren't setting up their plays to drive to the basket. They were setting up all their plays outside of the basket, especially going for the three off the screens. And I think that's what threw the Trailblazers off the most, because what they were doing against the Nuggets weren't doing quite a similar thing to the Warriors in that throwing to their big man in the post and then letting their guards run around, except this time the Warriors' guards are the ones running around at the three-point line while the Nuggets' guards were just running around to the mid-range. It seemed like they were still adjusted to that aspect of their game. But you can't say it's a 40-point win if they get more free throws, because the Warriors can't do everything, especially if they're jacking up 33 threes and making 50% of them. That's just asking for pretty much everything if you expect them to win the free throw battle in that game.
Yeah, the only department where Portland actually did better pretty much was points in the paint. They had 38 points in the paint while the Warriors had 30.
Yeah.
So, you know, look, it happened. But that's where they were focusing on the perimeter. That's where they were focusing on shooting the threes. And that's where they can be lethal.
Yeah.
And it's like, look, you get a win, you're dominant. Let's not ask for too much.
And here's Steve Kerr talking about the defense after the game.
Our defense was good, but I also thought we benefited from the schedule. You know, we were able to finish our last series on Friday, and they had to go to a tough game 7 in Denver and a quick turnaround. So the schedule favored us, but I thought we took advantage of the situation and got off to a good start.
That game 6 against the Rockets, it's crazy just how apparent how important that win was. You saw the Blazers, they were just tired. You can tell that they came off a 7-game series in which one of the games went to a quadruple overtime. And when you're playing against a guy like Nikola Jokic, who's just a bully, I mean, Kanter and Collins, I expected a little more out of Collins, but he just seemed gassed. He really did. And it took a toll, for sure.
It was evident last night how tired they were. You could see it. You could see it on their faces. You could see it in their play. They were a lot more sluggish than they normally are, because normally they move really well. But they were sluggish. There's a reason why they're in the Western Conference Finals. They played incredibly well the first two rounds. Yes, it went to Game 7. And yes, it was a very tough matchup. But they are coming off of altitude, like high altitude. They are coming off of Game 7 Warriors at home. Finished on Friday, had some more rest. It totally worked out in the Warriors' favor. And they took advantage, which is great, but they got to keep it up, because this is not how the Blazers are going to be from now on.
No, we don't want to overreact too much to Game 1, but from the 901, I think we're going to get a lot of this today. Warriors should lose Durant this offseason. They're 28-1 when Durant misses a game. Yes, he's a dominant player, but they're still a dominant team without him. Make the hard decision and let Durant go. And move forward with Steph, Clay, Draymond, and Boogie. Spend a lot of money on a great bench and win another title next year. I mean, that's asking for a lot. just, hey, get rid of KD and then replace them with also a great bench as well as just keep everybody, including Boogie, which you never know with Boogie. That's going to be an interesting one this offseason because that injury definitely lost him some money and lost him out to get a big contract. So I'm curious to see where that goes. But, you know, if you're looking at just these past two games, the small sample size alone, it's hard for me to say that the bench is better when KD's on the roster because you have the bench has been the one Achilles heel of this team throughout the entire series. No one had faith in Quinn Cook to come in and knock down a couple of threes. No one did. And right now, these past couple of games, they have been playing better without Durant, but I do wonder if it's just they're playing because they have that motivation to get Durant back or at least let him rest as long as possible until they bring him back.
I also think that they have become too reliant on Durant where they, you know, we saw they could not have gotten past the Clippers without Durant the way that they were playing. They were playing terrible in the first round.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, when they do bring Durant back, how is their game going to change? Because I still want that free flowing that they have. They haven't had that in a while.
Right.
Until Durant went down. So if they could somehow make it work, I mean, he is such an incredible player. I can't say there, oh, yeah, just get rid of Durant. You can't just easily say that. Look, this is a small sample size right now, like you said.
Yeah. And if you're just looking at those two games alone, it'd be an overreaction.
You have a Houston team that was just mentally just messed up, and the Warriors completely took advantage. You have a tired Blazer team. Let's wait. Let's see how it plays out right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because it also depends on matchups. The bench came out, but it also they have to keep it up. So let's see. I mean, we talked about how earlier this was the worst bench in the playoffs right now, and they're coming here to perform now. So let's kind of see how it goes. I can't say it's only Durant's fault. No, you can't do that.
Right. It's very easy to say. But
it's something to keep an eye on, though.
It is something to keep an eye on. But at the same time, I do think, in the end, now that I think about it, the bench probably just has that motivation to just get wins whenever they can so they can keep KD off the floor and then hopefully get him back for the finals. Because from the 6-5-0, and we've gotten a lot of this too, is the Bucks will be a problem without KD. That's definitely that's definitely one angle. But also, they haven't played a game yet.
Yeah.
So the Bucks going to the finals isn't a sure thing. You never know with that series. That series is going to be... I'm interested to watch that one.
Yeah.
Because Kawhi Leonard, I think we underrate him a little bit. In these playoffs, he's been otherworldly. He was right up there with Durant statistics-wise. The rest of the team, not really doing so well, but Kawhi Leonard shows up to play. Giannis, he showed up to play in the closing out of these series. So I'm really curious. I don't know who's going to win that one. I really don't. I'm having a tough time predicting that.
Well, don't forget what happened the first game of when Milwaukee played Boston.
Mm.
They got steamrolled.
Yeah.
The Bucks completely got steamrolled, and then they came back and just completely dominated the rest of the series. So that's why you got to kind of wait, look back, check out the whole thing. That's why it is a 7-game series. You're getting the best team to come out of a 7-game series. So you just got to kind of watch and sit back on it.
So we're talking about KD being off the floor.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about Boogie possibly coming back for this series, both of them. But one guy we forgot who came in garbage time, Damian Jones.
Here comes Damian Jones coming in now. Damian Jones gets to play tonight for the Warriors.
It's been since December, hasn't it?
Yeah. Torn left pectoral muscle for Damian Jones. Had him sidelined almost all year. What an exciting moment. Let's speak for him.
Comes in, gets a rebound, gets a dunk. That was unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
Did anyone know that was coming? Like, did we just not do our due diligence before the game?
Nobody knew. All the reporters out there. Apparently, he was available a couple days ago.
Okay.
He got cleared a couple days ago, but
right.
They didn't make a big thing about it. I don't think they were expecting him to play right now.
Yeah.
So it just kind of was like, all right, let's just put him out there, see how he does. But everybody was shocked. I mean, I'm looking at him like, wait, who's that? Damian Jones? I haven't seen him.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, December. My goodness.
Yeah.
And God, getting over pectoral turn.
Yeah, he is going to bring something that this team is missing right now. Now, they have been playing very good fundamental basketball, especially Looney and Bogut, both of them. But also, Damian Jones, just a high-rising big man who's just going to add to the depth of the roster, and you needed that when Boogie went down. Now, the Warriors have obviously survived their way without really needing him, but who knows? Damian Jones, maybe he could play a bigger role going forward in this series and get a few minutes.
He was the starting center at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, do we forget about that? You know, you obviously had Boogie, who we were all excited for to see, and he stepped up well, obviously. You had Andrew Bogut that you brought back, and obviously Kevon Looney has been a star coming off the bench.
Yeah.
So you didn't think about it until now. It's like, oh, yeah, he was our starting center.
There's no way they're going to put him in Looney's place right now just because of how well Looney is playing.
Can't do that.
But if you say Andrew Bogut or Jordan Bell don't play the way they did and they're cold, there's no reason why they shouldn't bring Damian Jones in to get some minutes, because if Jordan Bell impressed me last night.
Mm-hmm.
Now, defensively, he wasn't all that great, but on the offensive side of the ball, he was being patient. He was being smart. He hit a fadeaway jumper from the post, which was random, but he was playing the Warrior basketball that they wanted him to play. And I'm going to play this highlight again because you saw Klay Thompson just give him a high five with pride after Jordan Bell made this pass.
Bell turns and faces the bucket at the top of the key.
Doesn't want to shoot it.
Gets it to Klay Thompson. He wants to shoot it, and he hits it. It's a curling three from the left side as he worked up from the baseline, and the Warriors are up 11.
Just being patient right at the free throw line, got his big man on him, and just let Klay Thompson run around and get open. Jordan Bell, couldn't say enough about him from last night. But this entire bench, as I'm going to go back to this lineup, as we got new listeners coming in. It is early. It's 5:50 in the morning.
Yep.
We do have people just getting on the road now. But
be safe, everyone.
At the beginning of this show, I couldn't say enough about the lineup that they put out there at the beginning of the second and the fourth quarter with Cook, Thompson, Livingston, Jerebko, and Jordan Bell. They had the third most minutes in terms of lineups. They went 4 for 5 from the field or from the 3-point line and 7 for 14 from the field. And two of those threes came off of Jordan Bell assists. And Jerebko ended up getting 7 minutes or 7 points rather in the first few minutes of the second quarter, keeping them alive in this game. They all did it. They all performed, and they all came out with that intensity that you want.
36 bench points from 8 players. I mean, that what Steve Kerr talked about after the game was, by having the bench perform as well as they did, that gives the starters the ability to rest. So they're not getting overworked. So they're not getting tired. They're not more injury prone. So having them step up like that is completely huge. And you talk about Jonas Jerebko, he finished with 9 points. 9 points from Jerebko.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
7 of which came in that second quarter.
But it's incredible how this bench has been able to step up, especially when we hardly saw them before. I mean, how many DNPs did we see in the last round?
Right.
We saw tons.
Tons.
I mean, half of it. Mm-hmm. When you look at the box score, I mean, it was DNP, 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 DNP.
Yeah.
You're not seeing that right now. And this is complete strength in numbers basketball.
You didn't see Bell get any minutes. You didn't see Bogut really get any minutes. You didn't see Quinn Cook get any minutes, who ends up coming out and scoring 8 points, two of which were big threes, and one of which coming off a Bell assist. I couldn't get enough of that start. I couldn't get enough of that starting lineup yesterday, or that second lineup yesterday. Yeah. I really couldn't.
No, I know you couldn't. How how fun though was it to see Steph and Seth? Obviously, Seth, not a huge game. I think his first bucket was his 3 in like the third quarter.
Yeah.
But it's still kind of fun to see them going up against each other. You had Dell and Sonia wearing their jerseys. They did flip the coin to see who they were. Dell wearing the Warriors jersey. Sonia wearing the Blazers jersey.
Both cheering either way, though,
yeah,
which is just what parents should do. But here's Stephen Curry after the game talking about Sonia and Dell being in the crowd.
I think I caught myself a couple of times looking up the stands, and my parents did the whole coin flip thing, and they can't help themselves. So anytime either one of us did something good, they both were clapping. So they got to fix themselves, because I told my mom, like, who you with? When I made a shot, I saw her stand up and cheer, but I saw all Portland gear, and it's just weird. So it's probably more nerve-wracking for them in terms of just trying to get settled into what this series is going to mean.
No kids in the spotlight anymore, though.
Yeah, I know.
You notice that?
Yeah, I notice. They're all home sleeping.
Yeah, they. I think they realize how I've never seen a child grow so much into a star as Riley Curry did back when those first playoffs came around over in 2014, 2015, when Steph was unanimous MVP and he was the kind of the darling of the NBA because he's bringing a whole new revolution to the game. And then his cute daughter comes up to the podium. I've never seen someone get so popular so quick. They're no longer in the spotlight anymore. I think for a little bit, they're just like, all right, let's ease up. They're still kids, and we want to just like let them be kids.
Well, just imagine how many people probably came up to Riley. People recognized her right away.
Yeah.
That could be kind of freaky for a parent when you think about it.
Yeah.
As, you know, as much as you love seeing your kids in the spotlight, you're like, oh, you're so proud of them. But at the same time, you have all these people who know who she is and are coming up to them. It's a little scary.
Yeah. And with Steph and Seth, I couldn't help but think, because the age difference between them two is kind of the same with me and my brother. And me and my brother, we weren't exactly pro athletes. We were all right. And we, you know, we'd play sports or whatever. But Steph talked after the game and he's just like, yeah, it brought me back to the days where, you know, Seth and I would be in the backyard competing, going one-on-one, you know, just going balling for each other and, you know, going and doing whatever. And I was thinking back to when me and my brother would play pickup basketball one-on-one, and there's one memory I had where he's trying to do what basically a little cross-the-legs move with that James Harden does, where he's trying to fool a guy at the three-point line, and I reached in, and then we both bashed temples.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Not good.
Yeah.
Not
so
good.
I was just picturing side-by-side Steph and Seth as they were kids, probably balling, just jacking up shots, making everything, whereas my brother and I, we're playing pickup basketball and we're just bashing heads and then just quitting the game after that because our heads hurt.
I have a feeling the Curry's a little more handles than the Langford brothers. Just a little bit.
You sure?
Just a little bit.
You sure?
Leave it.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I think Ian and I can go up against the Curry brothers, maybe.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'd like to see that. Maybe when they were like five.
We were wiffle ball superstars back
Ooh,
in the day.
Anna. Look at you.
Did you have any siblings growing up?
Like I have a younger sister, yeah.
Did you have like a little rivalry with her or anything like that?
No, we weren't rivals. We were always best friends. We always got in fights, though. We were always tough with each other, so my sister and I are definitely not one of those really girly girls, both of us. I mean, she's like I've been into sports. She's been into trucks, like monster trucks, stuff like that. So we're completely opposite from my mom, who's definitely like more of a girly type of girl. And we always wanted to be more like with our dad and stuff. And we were
monster trucks?
Oh, yeah. My sister loves like big trucks. And
what, like just $15? Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah?
Yeah, and you know.
That's what it costs.
Hardcore rock.
What are you laughing at, James? It's the cost, at least when I was growing up.
Gotcha.
Just $5, Gravedigger.
I remember those commercials playing all the time.
Yeah. From the 415 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, the bench isn't playing better. They're just finally playing. If you like this style better and see the value of it, ask Kerr why he didn't promote it. The simple reason why they did ask Kerr why he didn't really play the bench, and he just feels like that this Blazers team, they set up a better matchup for the guys on the bench.
Completely.
Yeah, which I totally agree with. And then, but yeah, the texter in the end, though, is right. They're not only just playing better, but they're actually playing. The reason that they are actually playing, though, is because the minutes that they did get, whether it was Livingston or Yurebko, they weren't giving any productive minutes. I think that's mainly why we're saying the bench is playing better. Now, certainly, Quinn Cook and Andrew Bogut, they're kind of getting their, and Jordan Bell as well. They're the ones that are finally playing, so to speak. But for the most part, when you got guys on your bench who were Livingston and Yurebko were the two kind of rotating bench players that they would bring in that Rockets series, you could say that those two are playing better for sure.
Oh, you could tell also that when you're – there's a difference when you know that you're going to play versus you're not sure if you're going to play. There's definitely something mentally. Like, you're mentally prepared to play. They are ready to play because they know they're needed at this point. So just like in Game 6 against Houston, they knew they were going to be needed. They knew that they had to help with those minutes that KD was playing. Those were a lot of minutes, and you had to disperse it somehow. So the bench has been ready to play, and they've showed up to play.
As we're talking about both Sean Livingston and Jonas Jerebko, here's Livingston talking about Jerebko.
Absolutely. He just plays hard, puts his head down, plays hard. It's tough to put a value on that, right? When guys just, you know, they just play hard. He's not scared to shoot the basketball, space the floor. He does, you know, he provides some offensive techniques for us out there. You know, he spaces the court, he runs the court, and also he plays hard on defense and rebounds. So.
So Joe Lowe and Dibs are going to be coming up in about a minute here. They're going to be joined by John Dickinson at 6:30. The Hall of Famer Rick Barry at 8:30. Can't wait to get his thoughts. Mm-hmm. And then at 9 o'clock, they're going to have Terry Porter, who is a two-time All-Star with the Blazers. He's currently the University of Portland head men's basketball coach, if I phrase that correctly. Real quick, before we get out of here, I wanted to just play this soundbite from Damian Lillard talking about playing in Oakland, because Steph versus Seth was the big story, and also Lillard coming back to Oakland.
I think the situation is special. You know, obviously growing up in Oakland, growing up a Warriors fan, and this being the last year of them playing in Oakland, you know, all of those things I think is special for those reasons. But for me, it's not my first time playing against this team. It's not my first time playing here, so I wouldn't say it's a distraction. I think it's a bigger deal to everybody else than it is to me. You know, everybody else wants to talk about it and make a big deal out of it, but I'm just here to play basketball.
So he's just here to play ball?
That's all he's going to do.
It's not that big a deal. We did make a big deal out of it.
It's still fun to see somebody. And, you know, he wore his A's jersey yesterday, representing the town a little bit. But, you know, when he's coming to play, he ain't coming for Oakland. He's coming for Portland.
When he was at the Raider game, I that was one of the loudest times I've heard Raider Nation.
Mm-hmm.
He was out there in a Marshawn Lynch jersey, and yeah, you could tell that the Oakland fans love him regardless. So we can understand why it is overblown. 5 seconds left, Anna. Anything else?
Did you see Steph in the Aladdin commercial? Pretty cool.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh,